Praise God. Amen. Good to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray before we open the word this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. And Father, that your hand is already upon us, Lord. You've already been speaking to us. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just speak to us as we open your word today, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We declare that Christ is enough for us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that will resonate, Lord, not just in our ears, Lord, or in our mouths, but Lord, be in our heart. And Lord, that we can just trust in you, Lord, that we can have faith in you, Lord, and rely upon you, Lord. So Father, I pray, Lord, that you just speak to each of us, Lord, as we open your word, Lord. Let your word penetrate deep into our spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just want to speak this morning about holding the line. A lot of the things that we've been talking about in recent times, as we've been talking about our theme for the year, a lot of it is about actually taking ground, territory, advancing, moving forward, progressing in our life, and realizing the things that God has said and promised, and apprehending those things, going forward in that, standing in the strength of the Lord. I want to speak this morning really about just holding the line, because there's sometimes in life where you just need to hold the line. I'm sure that we've all gone through different circumstances and struggles within our lives and with our heart, where you just feel at times where the pressure is such an extent that you feel like the temptation is just to run away, just to get out, just let me out of here. And I'm sure we've all faced times of great discouragement. And obviously, like everyone else, I've had times of real discouragement. But the thing that the Lord spoke to me when I was really facing times of discouragement were the words, the simple words were about just hold the line. Just hold the line. Hold the line. Just simple words, three words, hold the line. And what I really want to talk about that this morning is that there are times where we are advancing, you know, against the gates of hell will not prevail, we're going forward. But there are times where just because of the circumstances of life or just the way that we're feeling within our emotions and things that are happening to us, around us, whatever there, that we just have to hold the line. There's two wonderful passages in Scripture in Samuel where these mighty men, we hear the mighty men of David. David had these mighty men, and they did exactly like that. They held the line. 2 Samuel 23 says this: the Philistines gathered at Pasdamim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Elisha stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. And so such is the battle that he's there. Everybody else runs away. But somebody had to hold the line. And there's times in life where we just hold the line. And he held the line, and he was holding the line against an army coming against him. And he held. He did not budge. He just held the line. Other people just ran away. And their own weakness and failure, whatever it was, they ran. But he said, no, I'm going to stand. And I don't know whether you've ever used a hammer for a long time. For me to use a hammer for a long time would be quite an amazing feat. But times where I have used a hammer for a time where you just, after a while, you feel like your hand is sort of just stuck in this position. It's sort of stuck there, almost frozen to the hammer. Well, imagine fighting an army that the sword is just almost stuck as part of his arm as he stood his ground. And there's another story, another great hero also on Samuel 23. It says here, when the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, he took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. And so there are times where we just have to hold the line. And everything within us might be, I just want to get out of here. I can't handle this. I can't cope with it. I've had enough. Just let me out. Just I want to escape. And some people actually do that. Some people do withdraw. They withdraw from many things. They withdraw from relationships with one another. They go hide in the garage, or they may withdraw into work and make that something that people can withdraw. We can withdraw in many ways. We can just disconnect ourselves with people and just don't talk to me, just leave me alone and just sort of put a wall around us. And that's a way of running away. We can do that. Some people try to run and change different situations rather than holding the line. Now, we've all been tempted to do that when you're under a lot of pressure, when a whole lot of things are against you, and you can't even seem to make sense of what's going on. If you had a clear answer, well, then that would be fine. But there are times when it seems that even things aren't clear. But they're the times where you really need to hold the line. When everything within us wants to run away, everything within us says, I give up. I just can't handle this anymore. That's it. Now, the word of God, just the simple words that God has spoken to me on a number of occasions, just hold the line, to stand our ground against the tendency to run away, to give up, but just to hold the line, to stand the ground. And I want to talk about how we can actually do this. We were talking about this year about the good fight of faith, and faith is such an important part of it. Talked about holding on. It says in 1 Timothy 6:1, where it talks about holding on to the eternal life to which you were called. There's something about holding on, something about holding the line, and it's really to do with faith. And it's very easy to say you've got faith when everything is going well, because when everything is going well, you don't really need faith, do you? Well, when you have everything, what do you need faith for? Because you've got everything. Faith is really needed when there's a challenge, when there's a crisis, or when there's something that we need to step forward, step into, something that needs to be apprehended, something that we need to grab a hold of. We need faith at a time like that. And so what is the faith, and how do we get this faith that we can hold the line, that we don't have to be ones that run away, that we can stand there and be a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, and to stand in faith in the middle of whatever that we're going through? Because we get stuff chucked at us all the time in life. Some things are hard, some things are very hard, some things are very discouraging, but we need to know how to hold the line at those times. I want to talk a little bit about faith. There's some scriptures about faith that many of us are familiar with. We might know them, but we don't really know them. We know the words of them. We know where to maybe even find them in their Bible, in our Bible, but we don't really necessarily apprehend them. It says Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, we've been singing today, Christ is enough. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is Christ is enough for us. And that's something, that's the anchor, that's the rock on which we stand. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or other translations would say the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith is so important. Faith is right at the very beginning. Faith is at the end, and everything in between is in faith. And so we need to be able to walk and live in this realm of faith. It tells us, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Now, I'm sure that every one of us, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would say, yeah, I want to please God. I mean, after all that God has done for me, we've celebrated what he did around the around communion, around on the cross, what Jesus did, the salvation that he gave, that he bought for us with his very blood. And so I want to please God. And I'm sure every one of us want to please God. And we can please God in many ways. Obviously, leading a godly life is pleasing to God, and showing his love and grace and being loving is pleasing to God. But we can do all of those things. We can serve God faithfully. We can do all the right things. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, there's a faith that we come into to come to Jesus Christ. It's faith. It's receiving what Jesus done on the cross. And that's what we talk about, coming into faith. It's learning about what Jesus did and making him the Lord and Savior of our life. But this faith that we need to live in every day. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to please God, and I want to have faith. I want to have faith. And I feel in my life that I do have faith, but there's another thing that goes with faith, which is patience. Talk about that in a moment, because it's some of us have faith. Patience a little bit harder, something a little bit harder to struggle with. Romans 12:3 talks about the measure of faith that each of us have. And sometimes say, oh, Lord, if I just had enough faith, even the psalmist said, just give us more faith. Well, he's given you enough faith for the circumstance that you're in. It's not a lack of faith. It's saying, oh, God, it's not fair. You gave them more faith than you gave me. I'm lacking in faith. You have a measure of faith that God has given you. You have actually enough faith for the challenges that you face, for the things that you're going through. That actually, there is enough. God's actually given you enough faith. We just got to understand how to live that and walk in it, and how that works. Romans 12:3, it says, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. So you've got a measure of faith, and that faith is enough for the circumstances that you face in our life. And so it's not us saying, oh, Lord, if I just had some more faith, or if things don't seem to be happening, you know, we think, oh, maybe you haven't got enough faith. Or other people can say to us, well, you don't seem to have enough faith. Really, faith is not necessarily the issue of having enough faith. It's understanding how God works and the heart of God to us, and then it helps us to hold the line when everything else seems to be overwhelming and things just don't seem to be going our way, they don't seem to be working. How do I hold the line? Because I don't want to be one of the ones who run away. I want to be one who stands in the midst of what all of I face, the circumstances in my life. You have faith, and I believe you've got enough faith for the circumstances that you're in. The Lord wouldn't, if he doesn't let us get tempted beyond what we're able to bear, then he's not going to let you be in a situation where you suddenly have to reach out and grab this superhuman bit of faith that you haven't got. Now, sometimes that happens. There is that gift of faith. There are times when God will give you that supernatural gift of faith where you can just get that faith for that miracle or that thing happens. You can actually tap into that. But I'm talking about living your life generally in the circumstances of life and how to have that faith that we need because we want to please God. Romans 12:3 tells us what faith is. And again, it says, "Now faith has been sure of what we hope for and certain of what we see." Sorry, that's Hebrews. Now, faith is, it's actually Hebrews, not Romans 12. It's a mistake. Hebrews, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we're not able to see. Hebrews 11:1. Yeah, Hebrews 11:1. I'm telling you the previous one, Romans 12. Hebrews 11:1. It's been certain of what we hope for. Now, if I'm certain of something, I'm sure of it. If I'm certain of something, I am convinced, and you don't have to convince me. If you were to tell me that I'm standing here today, well, you don't have to convince me that I'm not having a dream. I don't even have to pinch myself. I know where I am. I'm here. I'm convinced. There's certain things that you're convinced of. I know that I'm alive and that I'm not dead. I'm convinced of that. And there's certain things that you are convinced of, you are sure of. Well, faith, it says something that you are convinced of, that you are sure of, certain of. That's what faith is. The problem for us is that when we talk about faith, as we try to have faith and we try to express faith because we want to hold the line, we don't want to give up, we don't want to give in, but are we certain? Where does the certainty come from that we are sure of? It's what we're sure of. Because the reality is that our faith is more a wishing and a wanting and trying to rise to something that just seems to be out there somewhere. And we try as we may, and within us it just doesn't seem to be enough to get us to whatever we think is required to be there. But we view the whole thing wrong when it comes to faith, about being sure of it, be certain of something that I don't need to be convinced of. Because when I've got faith of something, I'm not wishing, wanting, hoping. I know for sure. I am convinced of something. And a conviction comes in. And when you have a conviction, that's when you can stand the line. When everything seems to be going against you, when there's times you think like, okay, that's it, forget it. I give up, chuck it in, that's it. And the Lord says, no, hold the line, because you know you're convinced of what God has. You're convinced of the future. You're convinced of the destiny. You're convinced of the calling. You're convinced of the things that God has for you. So you hold the line. And there's something about that certainty about that. The trouble is for most of us, is that, well, we want to have that, and we want to have that dimension of faith. We want to hold the line. We want to fight the good fight of faith. But when push comes to shove, we tend to move not really in the realm of faith, which is rocked. It's faith is a solid thing. It's a solid thing that when we know that we're sure. I don't have to convince you. You've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to stand here and preach to you about becoming a Christian. Because it's absurd. You know I gave my life to Christ. I know who I am now. I know my destiny. I know my purpose. I know the calling. I know that I have a future, not only just in this life, but I have my eternal hope in Jesus Christ. I know that my future is secure. And I don't need anybody to tell me that. I don't need anybody to try to teach me that, because I know that, and I trust all of you who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. You don't need someone to convince you of that. It's convicted. That's your faith. You men and women of faith, you have faith, and that really is a great example of what faith is. You don't have to be convinced of that anymore, that the Lord loves me, that I know that I'm going to heaven. I know my future is secure, and I know that I'm a child of the living God. I don't have to convince you of that. Because it's faith, and that's really what it is, coming into faith. Someone comes to Christ, they come into faith, and when they wondered, oh, gee whiz, you know, wonder if I could, you know, is it all real? Was it true? Once they take that step into faith, they know, you know. And that's really what faith is, it's the knowing. But sometimes we have a little shadow of faith, and it's more a wanting and a wishing than faith. And one of the things I really want us to understand here is really how the whole issue of timing works. And timing is everything. It is really, really important. And if you see any movie, you'll see there when you've got the group of, you know, soldiers there, or the police are doing an operation, something's happening, they're all synchronizing their watches and they're all getting on the same page. Yeah, let's synchronize our watches, or let's synchronize our heart to understand what faith is, and that we can all stand in that, and that we'll hold the line when everything within us wants to give up, everything else wants to just to retreat from it. No, we hold the line. We stand in faith, and it's to understand how God works in the sense of timing. Now I'm going to take control over this PowerPoint now. So timing is everything. Now what I want to talk about is, let's just say for example, now there's a couple of different situations. One is where everything's coming against you and think, how am I going to stand? The other one is where you've got a godly desire and you really want to see that happening. Now maybe it's to get a job and you've been trying really hard to get a job and you're not sitting around reading magazines and expecting this mystery phone call offering a job. You're out there, you're in the job networks and you're checking online and you're doing everything to get this job, but you just can't seem to find a job. And it's not as if you've got three heads, and it's not as if it just doesn't seem to be a reason. You're doing everything reasonable, but you just can't get a job. It could be like that. Could be maybe that you want to find that life partner, that spouse that God has for you. And it just doesn't seem to be happening. And so it could be a positive thing as well. So I want to give the example of actually when we have a desire in God and it just doesn't seem to be happening. You just don't seem to be able to get this job. You hear other people, they got the job. Well why didn't I get a job? They got married. Well, what's happening for me? How do I hold the line in that? How do I stand in that, stand my ground in that? And one of the important things, I think one of the most important things, is to understand the timing of God. And now people will say, oh, it's all in God's time. And that's true, but what does that actually really mean? Because it can come a little bit cliched and a little bit of a throwaway line and say, oh, well, it's in God's time. But in a way, it almost makes it sound like God's a little bit cruel, that he's somehow taunting me or tempting me or something, because, you know, he wants me to have a job. I don't have to pray about that. It says in the Bible about do work with your hands and to provide and all of those kind of things. So I don't have to have a prayer meeting and pray about, should I get a job? No, I know that. But how do I understand that? Well, why haven't I got the job? Well, I'm trying and doing everything I'm supposed to. And how do I actually get that? Understanding timing is really important. So we have a desire within our heart, and it's a godly desire. All right, you know, if it's an ungodly desire, well, then it's not going to happen, and you wouldn't want it to happen if your heart's submitted to God anyway. But a godly desire and understanding the time, how do I hold the ground on that? Just sit me getting this job, what do I do? Okay, well, we need to understand timing. And one of the things we need to understand that there's two realms of time, and that's what I really want us to understand. Because if we can grab a hold of that, we've actually begin to get into the realm of faith. Two kinds of time. There's chronos time and there's kairos time. Now, we understand the difference of these, and then we can actually begin to see how things can unfold. Now, first of all, that there's chronos time and there's chronology. So if you want to find the chronology of something, you look at the order of the sequence. You want to find out the chronology of your Bible, well, don't look in the index, because the Bible is not in a chronological order. It's grouped according to the groupings, whether it's prophetic book or all the different groups, the history books, all of the things. So the Bible's not actually chronological as such, but chronology is where we get the whole sense of time. And so everything has a beginning and everything has an end. And we were born, and bad news this morning, you're going to die. But not today, so that's the good news. But there's a beginning and there's an end. And that's chronos time. And that's some of the things to understand about it. So, yep, we've got our time and we all watch our clocks and we're aware of that. Look at our calendars. And everything has a beginning, everything has an end. And that's so there's that finite realm of time. And that's for most of us, that's entirely where we just think about. So chronos, it's something that orders this world. The world is actually framed about time, and I don't need to tell you that. In fact, in our Western culture, time is everything. You're always late. There's time pressure. Got to be here. I've got to be there. I've got to do this. Got to do that. Am I going to be on late? I'm running time. Time is everything. In fact, time can actually become almost like a controlling thing for us if we're not careful. I don't have enough time. And time's this pressure, time. But it orders this world. It's this thing within time. The interesting thing about time is it's something that was created. The chronos time, the time that we live in, is actually part of creation. If you look in Genesis 1 and verse 14, where he says about separating the day and the night. And he says, I put the stars in the sky as a firmament. And they can see by that the sacred seasons, and they can see the passing of years. And woof, he created time. Time was something that actually is a part of creation. And so we've got to understand that. The time that we have, finite time, beginning and end, it's all a part of creation. It's a part of that. And the thing about it, obviously, it's where we live. How many of you live in creation? Are you aliens from other planets? We'll have to pray for you. We're all here. We're all born here, and we live in Chronos. And because of that, our thinking and our mindset in this world is ordered. Everything that we think about is in time. You know, when's he going to start? When's he going to finish? Everything is ordered about that. And our life, when we look at our life, we see the timeline of my life. This is my life here, and this is my life there, and there's that little dash in between, and I'm born and I die, and what happens in between. Everything is within this realm of Chronos time. Now, if we live our mentality as Christians and our whole framework of our life is purely within this worldly created time, well, it's God created it, but within the system of which governs the world, and we process our life and what happens to us or doesn't happen to us purely through the filter of this mindset of this time, then we're going to find it really hard to hold the line. We're going to find discouragements. And in fact, we're going to find that, hang on, some of things don't really make sense even in our life, but even when we try to apply things, if we don't have the mindset of understanding the way that God looks at things. So that's Chronos time. What tends to happen as a result of this is that, say, for example, there was something that we wanted, say, to go forward in even, maybe not even just holding the ground, but even go forward. We want to look for perfect conditions for everything. We want everything to just be at the right time. And so when everything seems to be in place, then everything, well, it should all happen. It says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. In other words, it's saying if there's a challenge or something that you need to embrace or do, if you're waiting for the perfect timing, chronologically timing, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen if you're just going to wait. You say, oh, look, I'm just too young. Maybe when I'm a little bit older. But when you're a bit older, oh, no, I'm too old. And we get mixed up on that sort of thing. We think that maybe when I do this, if I try that, if I'm good enough, if I try all these things, you know, if I had more money, if I was healthier, if I had more time, if I had all these things, and we make our life conditional within this framework. And we tend to limit God by thinking of that. That when everything is right, then I'll serve God. Then I'll step out. You know, look, I'm busy. You know, I've got a busy job. You know, how can I go to church? How can I serve in the kingdom of God? How can I do anything? You know, we limit God. We limit ourselves by putting our whole framework within the context of this Chronos time. Yep, we live in it, but really, do we? And that's what I really want to ask us. Do we really need to live in this time? I mean, obviously we're going to live and we're going to die, but there's a dimension of that God wants us to tap into and understanding that we want to grab a hold of. Sometimes too, when things don't seem to be going our way, so sometimes we want perfect conditions before we do something, but sometimes we think, well, something's not happening because the conditions are not perfect. And one of the worst things that people do, now I know that sin can be a blockage, and it can do that. You know, it says, guys, if something doesn't seem to be working, you check your prayer life. You check your way, but more than that, check how you're treating your wife, because the way you treat your wife is certainly going to affect the significance of your prayer. And so there is ways that can be blockages and things. But one of the worst things, though, is where we just begin to think, well, say, it's not happening, I can't get this job. And then we begin to rip ourselves apart and we're confessing of things that are there or not there and making up. We think that we're the problem. Now, we can be. But I'm not saying that. But the problem is we become self-absorbed and preoccupied and think that it's because of the sin of my life. It's because I'm unworthy. It's because I'm not worth it. And we allow unworthiness and hopelessness, and then we can become depressed, and things begin to come upon our hearts and mind. And all of a sudden the focus is all very introspective, and we're looking at ourselves, and we're not actually looking at the Lord at all. We're not actually keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, or the perfecter of our faith. We take our eyes off him in that. It's easy to do when our mindset is purely stuck in this Chronos time. We'll all fall for that. We all fall for that when we're just walking within this framework of this particular time. I better move on for time. So, but we can wait for that in waiting for perfect conditions. Or if things aren't happening, we begin to beat ourselves up and say, well, what's wrong with me? Why? But it's because we don't understand. It's just because we're just looking at Chronos. So let's have a look at this other time. And this is Kairos time. With Kairos, it means the appointed time. It means the determined time, the time that has been set. It's basically God's time. It's God's time. And it's eternal. It's really eternal, not like our Chronos time, beginning and end. And everything that we think of and process in life, we always have a beginning and end. And even scientists, that's how they think, and that's why creation, a lot of them struggle with that. They will try to get some evolution happening because at least they can have some sort of a beginning out of that. They struggle with that, but it's eternal. Remember, time itself was something that was created, part of creation. And so there's no beginning. And there's no end. And that's how it is, guys. There's no beginning and there's no end. And so, and the thing about the Kairos time, it's actually God's word. It's when God actually speaks something and brings it into being. It's important to have that word of God. And it's a now time. And we'll see some scriptures about that in a moment. And you'll find there's some almost apparent contradictions. Because if you look at things purely from Chronos time, you say, oh, how can that be God? But if we understand who God is and where God lives, the realm that God operates in, we begin to get a handle on this. And so the universe is ordered by the Kairos time, and it's outside of creation. Remember, God is the creator of heaven and earth. He created all things, including creating time. So he created time. It's outside of creation. And that's where God lives. God lives in this time zone, if you like. If you've ever gone from one country to another country, it's interesting because it's a change of time zone. I remember when we went to America, and I think was it our anniversary? We didn't even... Mother's Day, that's right, Mother's Day. We didn't get Mother's Day because we left and then we crossed over the date line and then it was a day later and poor Muriel missed out on a whole Mother's Day for that. That's all right, we celebrated it anyway. But it's weird, isn't it, when you cross a time zone, because you're still me. We didn't change. We were still there. But we were getting transported from one time zone to another. In the process, we missed something in the Chronos, in the chronology, and we missed Mother's Day. It didn't even exist, which was quite bizarre. Of course, when you come back again, you get to have deja vu because you have the day. We already had that day, but I got that day again. Isn't that wonderful? And so things get missed up a little bit. But one of the challenges for us, if we want to get into the realm of faith, is that we've really got to get our brain in a different time zone. Still the same person, but it's a shifting of time zone. And that's really where we want to live, that we're not living our lives in the time zone of this ordered chronology. Now, I'm not saying, okay, you're going to now be late for everything. That's okay. I'm not in Chronos anymore. I live in Kairos. I'm not giving you a license to always be late. I'm not saying that. I'm talking in the realm of faith and understanding, because this is where our focus really needs to be. So let's have a look at this. 2 Peter 3:8, and this is what it says. It says, don't forget this one thing. And he says, don't forget, because quite often we forget it. Don't forget, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. A day is like 1,000 years. Now, we understand 1,000 years is like a day because 1,000 years is, wow, you know, so big the sense of God's sense of time. 1,000 years to him is nothing. It's just like a day. But a day is like 1,000 years. Huh? One of our days is like 1,000. He's saying he's out of our time zone. God doesn't even operate in our time zone. The problem is we live in this time zone and our thought process, everything's caught up with this, and therefore we don't understand how God works. And that's what we want to talk about, because having faith is really understanding how God works. And if you know how God works, then it's easy to trust in him, and we have faith in him, and then we can hold that line when we know how God works. So an interesting scripture. The Lord a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. He's outside of our time zone. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, now listen to this, this is talking past tense. In the time of my favour, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Now, Paul's actually quoting that, okay? But it's a past tense. He's saying, in the time of my favour, I heard you. It says, on the day of salvation, I helped you. And that this is actually prophetic. Christ hadn't even come at that time, that scripture that he's quoting. And he says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the time of salvation. And so God messes with time. I heard you back here, and I've brought back here, already gave it to you, but now he's saying it's now. Now is the day, now is the time of salvation. And maybe for some of you this morning, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your now time. We're talking about holding the line, standing in faith, but don't hold the line resisting the faith. You can't sit on the fence and sort of wonder, oh, maybe when will I, because here you get into eternal time, get change the time zone, get into eternity, get into God's purpose, give your life to him. Let now be the day of salvation. But that's that word, that keros word, that now time, the appointed time. And it's appointed time because it takes God's time and suddenly brings it down into the realm of where we are. And that's where I live, and that's where I really want to see things happening. But how does all this work? We better keep moving on. Another scripture. And that's what he says, do not say. When we talk about outreaching and touching other people's life, don't say 4 months more and then the harvest. Don't say that. He says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. Now you might be right with your family and your friends, and you're looking at them and saying, I seem very ripe to me. I don't seem very ready to me. They don't seem responsive. But see, God looks at things differently. You might say, well, I've spoken to them once. I've spoken to them twice. I've spoken 3 times, and then I'm out. I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work that way. God says, no, just look, begin to see things as I see them. And it's interesting, you know, in John 10, where he's talking about the sheep and the sheepfold, and he says, I've got people that are already part of my sheepfold. They're already part of that, but they just don't even know it yet. And God knows it, but they need to hear. They need us to tell them so that they will know it. So he says, don't say, guys, don't make excuses about Chronos time while you're not bringing in the harvest. I'm too busy with work. I need to do this. I've got my family. I've got this demand. I've got this pressure. I've got this, and this. God says, don't use Chronos as an excuse for that. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time. And don't use that. Don't use the worldly system as an excuse that we're not being what God has called us to be. Don't do that. It says, open your eyes. Let's have a look now about how this all works. Now you're going to have to watch the screen on this one. Okay, so here we are. This is where we live. We're living here where there's a beginning and an end. That's where we're living down here. Now we have God up here. So I'm down here, there's a beginning and end, and I'm going to live and I'm going to die, every one of us. Unless the Lord comes back before then, I pray that he will. But there's a lot of people we've got to touch first before the Lord comes back. And then there's God up there. So God represented by the cross there. And he's in eternal time frame. So for him, there's no beginning and there's no end. And so for us, when we get hung up on timing, it really doesn't compute because God is outside of that. There's no beginning and there's no end. It's eternal. Now, here I am. And this isn't me, actually. I don't have a beard. This is Abraham. Now, interesting about Abraham, you know, God gave a wonderful promise to Abraham. 75 years of age. Getting on just a little bit. 75, and he makes this wonderful declaration, talks about him being a father of many nations. He goes, you've got to be joking. He says, look at me, I don't have any kids. How can I be a father of any nations? So but there's Abraham there, and there's God there. When God looking down on earth, he sees things in a whole different perspective. And faith really is getting getting God's perspective. And so here's God looking down upon that. Okay, so God says to Abraham, "You're the father of nations." Abraham says, "What?" And then Abraham, I'll just simply say, got a point over there, because Abraham's looking at his life and saying, "No, I'm not God. I'm not the father of nations. Look, where are all my kids, God? I'm not the father of nations." Because he's standing in his mindset, he's standing there in his chronos, and he's looking back and saying, "No, here I am now. That's where I was. And no, I'm not. God, you're wrong. There's something wrong here, God." But the reason is because Abraham's whole frame of reference is in this chronos time. He's looking back and saying, "Here I am now. This is where I've come from." God's saying, "You're the father of all nations." He's saying, "No, I'm not, because here I am. And look, I'm 75, God, and there's no kids." But you see, God is not framing his reference isn't in our chronos time. God who looks, and you'll see that, we'll see this as you go on, that God is actually looking out of his eyes, and he's looking into the future, not God's future, because there's no future, there's no past, it's all there with God. And he actually sees here that he's Abraham, and he's the father of many, many nations. And God is calling this and telling Abraham this, which when Abraham is here, and Abraham struggled with that. It took 25 years for that to happen, and so couldn't wait 25 years, so then they decided to have a Hagar or whatever. But he's stuck there, and I don't judge Abraham, because we've all been there, every one of us, because that's the way we think. But God actually sees something different. What about us? We have a godly desire. I want to get that job. And then God says to us, you know, he says, "I'm your provider. I'm blessing you, I've given you the job." And we say, "No, we haven't, where's my job?" Again, we've got to see how God works. Again, we're stuck with this beginning and end thing. I'm looking back and I'm looking where I am now, and I'm judging what I see and my faith. I'm building that up on this time zone and what's happening, rather than in God's eternal time, beginning to see things like God sees. So I have a godly desire. Now, God is eternal. There's no beginning, there's no end. Now again, this is what, so God is looking there, and he sees this place where this godly desire is fulfilled. And so he'll say that, I've given you that job, the job that you not only enjoy, it gives you good wage, good provision, and it's there. Or it could be a healing, and then Jesus says, he says, "By my stripes you were healed." You were healed. And I'm standing here saying, "Whoa, hang on, no. Here I am." But see, I'm only looking at Chronos. And it's this gap. That's the faith gap that we all struggle with. That's really what, when we get into the realm of faith, is when we begin to realize, hang on, God is actually seeing things that are. See, they are. As far as God's concerned, they are. In his time zone, they are. They've happened. And so when God looks down and he says, here it is. And remember, it's interesting, God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:5, he says to him, he says, before you were born, so he says, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you." He says, "Before you were born, I set you apart." That's interesting, isn't it? Because how could God know me? Because here I come, day one, you know, little baby, I'm just sucking my thumb, and here I am. And how can he know me? Because I'm just here now. No. Because as far as God's, he looks out of time. He knew me before I was even born. He's not caught up with this chronology. He's not even caught up with your birth and within your death. God is beyond even those things. And that's why we can glory in the promise of eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ right now, because God says it's yours. The eternal promises of God and the blessing of being with God, it's already yours. It's already there for us to apprehend. And so God, who says that, he says, "You've got it. I've got it for you." And God speaks the word to you and he says, "You've got that. That job's yours." And you think, "Ooh, I got it." Now, when God actually has spoken to us, the question is, what do I do with that? Because God might say, okay, I'll point that way, don't I? Okay, again, so God says you got the answer. You're looking back saying, "No, I don't. What are you talking about, God?" And so I don't have it. Again, because we're just got this mindset And remember, if we've got to live by faith, not by sight. Living by faith is in that time zone, living in knowing God's plan and purposes and what God has said and spoken, not just me looking on and seeing, well, where I am right now and assessing and judging my life and future according to the chronology of my timeline that's been revealed within my own life. And so I've got to look beyond that. So we need to begin to understand these things. So what happens is that we've got to get into God's time. And problem, it's easy to say, actually. It's not so easy to do because we are conditioned by chronological time, aren't we? As I said, good to be on time. It's good to be on time for church and work and whatever else. That's good. But in terms of apprehending something, whether it's a healing, whether it's a job, whether it's a spouse, whatever the promise that we're holding on to, that godly desire, it's hard to do that. But that's the transition of faith, is saying, hang on a minute. I'm looking down here with my frail understanding, my limitation of this mindset of chronos time. But God, the eternal Father, who's outside of time, and if God says something, he sees things that I don't see. He sees me before I was even born. He saw my life. He knew everything about me before I was even born. And that's why I can speak over Abraham and say, you're going to be the father of nations. That's why I can speak over Jeremiah and say, I set you apart before you're born. You're going to be this incredible prophet for the nations. The way God can do that, even though nothing seems to have happened, because God's outside of that. And if we begin to think like God thinks, begin to see what God sees and begin to agree with what God has said, then that's what faith really is. And so here we are in this timeline. Now, the important thing is that rather than looking on the ground and saying, well, no, it's not. I don't have this job, God, yet. I don't have this healing. So we were looking back here or even looking here, and God is saying, no, I want you to look here. I want you to look up. I want you to look at Christ. We've been singing, Christ is enough for me. And he's enough if we keep our eyes upon him and we allow him to begin to drop things into our heart. We begin to understand that God has that plan for us, that God has that future for us. And so we begin to agree with it. So we've got to learn to live in God's time zone. And the important thing to do that, how do I do that, is begin to understand who God is. God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he created time. And if God has said something to me, and God has given you a prophetic word, spoken something over your life, you can either agree with it or you can disagree with that. To disagree with it is chronos, is saying, well, ain't happening, haven't seen it, and when it happens, then I will praise God. But until then, that's no faith in there at all. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith would be you say, well, God, I don't really understand this, because If I look in chronos, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, because here you are, you're saying by your stripes, I was healed. But Lord, I'm actually going to now agree with you. I'm not going to just keep focusing on where I'm at or where I've come from. But Lord, I'm going to focus on you and what you've said, because you're above time. You created time. And Lord, I'm going to hold on to the promise. I'm going to hold on to the word. I'm going to hold on to who you are. Even when things don't make sense, and when you've done everything you possibly can, you've tried everything you can, you can't get the job, you're looking for your spouse, whatever it is, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to discount this. Abraham, 25 years. If he had been focusing on this 25 years, you know, it was his wife who really took things in her own hand when she gave him Hagar. But he kept his eyes on the Lord. It says because of that, that faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. And that's really what faith really is. It's taking our eyes off our own circumstances, where we are now, where we've been. And think, Lord, well, it's to say, Lord, I'm not going to limit you by my small thinking of this time frame. Lord, you're above time. You created time. You created heaven and earth. And Lord, you're for me. You're my God. You have a plan and a destiny for my life. You have a good plan for my life. Lord, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to look to that. And as we begin to do that, as we begin to shift our eyes, our focus away and say, Lord, I'm just going to look into you. We begin to see the glory of who God is, the wonder of who God is. And God begins to lift us up. And the things that he's spoken to us begin to come to life within our spirit. And when something rises within us, we begin to say, yes, amen. When my eyes are really on the Lord, and then I can actually see it. Even though I'm looking back here, I don't see it. But when I'm looking up here and my eyes are on the Lord, I actually begin to see it. Yeah, I can see myself healed. I can see myself with the spouse. I can see myself with the job, whatever it is. Because we're tapping into the things that God sees. And that's really what faith is. It's seeing the way that God sees. It's seeing from God's eternal perspective. And as I was saying, it can be hard when we're down here and we're trying so hard, we've done everything. And that's where we say, look, just stop looking down here. Start looking up here and then just begin to have your eyes upon God. And then realize who God is, that he's beyond time. And don't be fussed by what is happening or not is happening. And it's the realization of that can really help you hold the line. I've had to hold the line at times. I said, Lord, forget it. And hold the line. Because within me, God has said, no, here it is. This is what it is. I say, if I was looking here saying, God, it ain't happening, it's not there. But no, your eyes are on the Lord. He's saying, no, it is there. It is there. You just keep holding the line. Just keep your eyes upon me and you're going to come into that. It's interesting where it says in Hebrews where it talks about holding on. It says in Hebrews 6:12, it won't come up, but it says through faith and patience, Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, patience. See, it's very hard to be patient when you're looking at the watch. Hands up if you like waiting for stuff. I'm probably one of the worst people, I'll confess, when it comes to waiting. You know, I've been waiting for an hour for something supposed to be there an hour ago, haven't turned up, hasn't happened. I'm thinking, come on, you know, what's going on here? You know, the other day, Caleb's coming back from a camp, from an excursion, and, you know, they're running half an hour late coming back. I've got to run off somewhere because I've got to go in time. And I'm learning more and more patience. Still got quite a way to go. Faith, I'm pretty good at the faith stuff. Patience, I'm still learning. Patience. But patience, really, it's hard to have patience when we're hung up on Kronos. Because we look at the timing. Abraham, 25 years. And if that was his focus, 25 years, he's not going to have any faith. But when his eyes are upon the Lord, when our eyes are upon the Lord, we realize, hang on, I'm not limited by this. Lord, you'll do it. You're a faithful God, and it'll happen in over here. And so God can reassure me. I can take the reassurance. I can't get reassurance by looking at the circumstances because they're not what I want them to be. Only place I'm going to find that reassurance and get that faith is looking at the Lord and allowing the Lord to speak to me, to encourage me, strengthen me, to help me turn my eyes to what God has. And then faith becomes born and encouragement rises within my heart. It's so important. Oh, we're going the wrong way here. So we've got to live in God's time. And look, it will happen. It will happen. God said it, it will happen. Because God is over here. He's saying, Abraham, you will be the fathers of many nations. And it has happened as far as God's concerned. It's happened. As far as God's concerned, it's all happened. And the difference is well, okay, well, I want to grab a hold of that. That's what faith is. So, Lord, just show me that. Get that picture, Lord, show me. You can see it. Lord, give me that picture of what you can see. And, Lord, I want to grab a hold of that and let that rise within my own heart and within my own spirit. Lord, that's where I want to be. Because if I've got that, I'll hold the line. If I look at the watch, I look at this, I'm going to get discouraged. And every one of us can get discouraged. And I've been discouraged. But I hold the line because I think, hang on a minute. What's God said? What God doing? Who is God? What does he have? No, that's where I'm focusing. And because of that, then I'm encouraged and therefore I can stand in faith. And so he gives you the word, a now word. And there are times when God just brings that a word that causes an alignment in your spirit. And sometimes the now word doesn't necessarily translate here immediately right now. Quite often it does. It's a specific time. Things will happen. Now is the day of salvation. Sometimes the now is just an aligning of my faith, my heart, my expectation with what God has for me. And there's something that gels within my heart. And I pray this morning for some, I'd love to pray for all of us this morning that there'll be an alignment of our hearts this morning. We'll say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to stand in that, what God has said, his word. And there are times when God says, now, step out right now. Do something right now. And you're, hang on a minute, God. How can I do this now? I've got 20 children and they're all under 3. I don't know how you do that, but it's a miracle. Whatever excuse people make, Lord, I've got a busy job. I work 26 hours a week, a day. 26 hours a week wouldn't be too bad. 26 hours a day. Lord, I just can't do it. Look, I've got all this pressure. I've got this. I've got this. Lord, how can I step out? How can I reach out? How can I fulfill the call and destiny of my life, Lord? Because I've got this. And you say, no, just don't be bound by that in your life. Learn to live your life in my time and allow God. And so God will tell us to step out, and we need to step out. When God says to go and to do it, don't be looking for perfect conditions. Don't be waiting for everything to be right. We act upon that word. And it will be the appointed time. We've got to travel. That's why it's still not easy, because we're still traveling along the Chronos till we get to this point where God has already said. And the gap between that and where I am now, that's the faith gap. And so you're going to have faith if you're going to look forward into what God has. You'll have despair if you look back and see, well, it ain't happened for me. I haven't got my job. It hasn't happened, whatever the circumstance is. But it will happen at the right time. If it's a godly desire, something born of God, he will do it. Maybe not even in the way that we always think, but God will do it because he's faithful. It'll be the right time. And see, for me, I've got all sorts of conceptions about what the right time for something is. I've got all sorts of ideas about when is the right time. I'm just trying to signal Brendan, this is the right time to tell them I'm just about finished. That's all right. That's as subtle as I can get, I think, now. it's the right time. I think things are the right time. I always think immediately, now. I want it now. Perfect time. Isn't that how we are? When's the right time? Now. I want it now. When do you want it? Now. And as far as God's concerned, it isn't now because it's already happened for him, but we've got to learn to wait for things. Not easy. Not easy, because if this gets longer, the longer this gets, the harder it gets, because the more that I'm looking this way, man, it's harder all the time, isn't it? I'm looking back to what I haven't got my healing, I haven't got my job, I haven't got this, I haven't got that. And the bigger this way gets, the harder it gets. But if my eyes are looking to the Lord, as time goes on, I'm actually getting closer. And actually, faith can actually grow in time, because I know. And that's what it says about rejoicing, you know, in our heart, that the day is nearer than you first believed when you found Christ, the day of Jesus coming back. The day is nearer. If I'm looking here thinking, oh God, when are you going to come back? Lord Jesus, when are you going to come back? It just seems to be forever. Where are you? But if I'm looking to the Lord and I'm beginning to see, oh, I'm getting closer all of the time to what God has. And there's an excitement, anticipation. The kids will all be excited about Christmas coming up. Some of the parents thinking, oh no. And here we go, all the stuff you have to prepare and buy and do and all the things that's going to take time. The kids are just excited about it. They're looking forward to him. And every day it's closer. How many sleeps to Christmas? I'm not going to tell you. It's coming really quick, actually. How many sleeps? How long is it going to be before Christmas? They're looking forward. And there's an excitement in that. There's a joy of anticipation in that. And that's where God wants us to live, in the realm of the joy of anticipation of what God has for us, his blessing, his provision, his answer in the situation. And that'll help us hold the line. If you can see, Lord, you know, like women go through childbirth, and I've never had that experience. I've stood there and I've been there, but I haven't actually been there. But a woman goes through that. There's a wonderful joy at the end of that, isn't there? There's a joy. And the same is for Christ. It says he endured the cross because of the joy of you coming to know him, coming into relationship with him and his Father in heaven. And so if I can hold the line, and it helps me because I've got the faith. No, I'm going to come into that. I'm coming into that promise. I'm coming into that godly desire. I'm coming into that inheritance. And therefore, I can hold the line when I'm confident in that. And so my challenge this morning is for each of us to really look at which realm are we living in. Are we hung up in Chronos time, or we begin to operate in the realm of faith, where we begin to tap into God's eternal time and God's heart for us, his purpose for us, and begin to say, well, God, I might not see it here, but Lord, you have it in your hand. And Lord, that you love me, you're a faithful God, and I'm not going to be looking here saying, Lord, I'm in 10 interviews, 20 interviews, how many interviews? It just seems to be impossible to get this job. And so, no, Lord, I'll go to the interviews, but I'm going to go confidently because you have that job for me, Lord. It's in your hand. My eyes upon you. And Lord, I want to think in your time zone, Lord. I want to think, Lord, no, it's there. I want the assurance of that knowing. And that's really what it is. It's, we begin to tap into what God has for us. It can become a concrete thing because it has happened. And it's not just from God's point of view it has happened. By the way, if anything is from God's point of view, it's happened. Don't argue with God. I wouldn't mess with God. It's happened. So if it's happened, as far as God's concerned, so Lord, well, you're God, and it's happened, Lord, I want to tap into that, and I want to have the joy of that, the anticipation of that. I want to keep my eyes upon it, and I don't want to keep looking back this way. So let's stand this morning. I pray that we learn what it is to understand that realm of faith and to walk in what God has for us, and that we can hold the line. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy to hold the line. But if you begin to have that understanding of who God is and begin to see things in the way God works, then you have that courage, you have that confidence, you have that ability to stand. And so, Father, we come before you now. Father, we always come, Lord, in our own frailty, Lord. And Father, we want to have faith, but maybe in some ways that we haven't. Father, thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, today, Lord, you call us to lift our eyes up, Lord, that we won't be living and our whole life, Lord, ordered and just controlled by what we see and what is happening, Lord. But Lord, we begin to operate in that supernatural realm, the eternal realm, Lord, of your time zone, Lord, where you have things for us, Lord. Lord, where things are already given, Lord, the blessing's already been done, Lord, your will has already been accomplished, Lord. And help us, Lord, to come into that place of aligning, agreeing with what you've said, Lord, what you've done, Lord. And help us not to be ones, Lord, that we've got our feet on the ground, Lord, and looking back across our own timeline and say, well, what's happening or it hasn't happened. Father, help us to see that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that faith will rise in our hearts, Lord, really what faith is, Lord, that we'll agree with you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. Lord, that you're committed to us, Lord, and that we'll begin to see things the way that you see, Lord. That when you say, Abraham, you're the father of nations, Lord, we'll be like an Abraham and says, yes, I grab a hold of that, even though I don't have it now, but I have a hold of it because you have it for me, Lord. Pray, Lord, let us be the ones that grab a hold of it, Lord, that we'll grab a hold of it. That's faith, Lord. It's holding it in our hands, Lord. It's something we can feel and touch, Lord, because it's tangible for you, Lord, because you've made it to be, Lord. Help us to operate in that realm. Lord, not super spooky weirdness, Lord, but just the reality of who you are and what you've done and what you've said, Father. So, Lord, I commit this to you. Lord, I commit all of us to you. Lord, that we'll be ones that will always hold the line, that we'll stand in faith, Lord, and that because we stand in faith, Lord, that we'll please you. But more than that, Lord, that we're also going to come into the inheritance and the blessing, the promise that you have for us, Lord. Because, Lord, that is the joy of your heart. That is the delight of your heart to see your children walking in that blessing, Father. And so, Lord, let the joy of that come upon our hearts, or the anticipation of that, Lord, and let that just be a joy that just bubbles over in every part of our lives. So, Father, we just thank you now. Lord, for those that have been waiting for those breakthroughs, Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that need jobs, Lord, let them come into that realm, Lord, and saying, yes, Lord, I agree with that, Father. Lord, and Lord, for those that are looking for a spouse, Father, Lord, they say, well, Lord, I put it in your hands, or my eyes are upon you, Lord. And Lord, that blessing there, Lord, whatever it is, whatever that is, Father, Lord, knowing that you're the one that is faithful, Lord, and there's a joy in knowing your faithfulness, and Lord, that you will bring it apart. Lord, if anyone who doesn't know you this day, Lord, they've just been sitting on the fence, Lord, or they're just holding back. Lord, I pray, Lord, they say, no, I want to get into eternal time. I want to get into God's plan for my life. I don't just want to live and die and be buried in a box, but Lord, I want to have eternal life, Lord. I want to live in your time zone, Lord. I want to live even beyond this life, Father. I want to have a life that's full, and a life full of you, full of meaning and purpose, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if anyone doesn't know you this day, they'll have the courage, Lord, and say, no, I'm not holding back anymore. This is the now time. This is my time. And I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that you touch hearts this day. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and you touch us in Jesus' name. We're going to worship the Lord as we sing this.